This is Rackadix After Hours.
Hello everybody, welcome back to Rack Addicts After Hours. I believe we're on episode 9 and it's been a massive hectic one at work, so we're all pretty tired at the moment. So it's going to be short and sweet, I think. We've got some interesting stuff that's happened over the week. I think we start with Pete. Well, you've been dealing with some evil internet stuff. What you got?
Yes, I've been struggling. I've been in a constant battle with trying to get Squarespace to bend to my will, which is not an easy task. So Squarespace is pretty straightforward if you just go with their templates. That's fine. You just go in, input your data, fit it into the templates provided, and it's all good.
And then you make your next move with Squarespace.
Yes. Unfortunately, when you...
With their award-winning templates and customer service.
No, wait, hang on. What are you saying? Because we need the sponsors, man. So let's be real close.
Well, the
Squarespace is always there.
And before you move on any further, can you just tell us, so that the people that don't know what Squarespace is, can you tell us what it is?
Everyone's been on the internet.
Oh, you know.
It's either that or Grammarly.
Grammarly. Oh, my God.
Squarespace is like several other, I don't know how you describe them, as ISPs, or they provide a front-end tool that allows you to compile websites without having any extensive knowledge of HTML or Java or any of the other coding. So the idea is that you can just take your assets, your photographs and your text, just plumb it all in and bingo, you've got quite a nice dynamic looking website. The trouble that I experienced was when you have a predefined design that's been signed off by a customer, and then you try and
shoehorn it into what Squarespace is like. This is good.
And it's sort of feasible, but instantly you're under the covers and you're into HTML and coding it again. Yeah. So
what's the point in Squarespace?
Yes, and the trouble is you're fighting against the front end of Squarespace. So if I was using a tool like Dreamweaver or something like that that's designed to allow you, it crosses over and allows quite a lot of coding and you can get right down to the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty, that's fine. But this thing will allow you to do a certain amount, but you're always up against the sort of rigidity of how the thing's constructed. And obviously they have to construct it in that respect, because if they advertise it as something that anybody in theory can utilize, they can't have it so that they can get into trouble quickly.
Yeah, totally.
So a lot of stuff is all fenced off.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
That's mostly been my week, and it's, I now know more about Squarespace. I know more about Squarespace than I wish to.
Well, if we need an award-winning design website building,
now we know it doesn't do its job.
So that, basically
1.5 reviews.
That's been my week.
Andy Roo, you saw a band. I haven't been to a gig in a million years.
What
have you seen? I haven't seen
any. Yeah, man, it's been a bit of a busy week in the studio, and then bands, it's been pretty much the gist of it.
This is the tiredest Andy we've ever experienced, I think. Today.
Yeah, so he's starting to feel
he's clinging on.
Studio by day, gigs by night, all day, all night. He just loves the thug life.
No sleep for this guy.
Yeah. It's been cool. So I went to a open mic night in Reading. It's done by a fellow called Sam and the Gang. So that's worth checking out for sure. Saw some interesting acts, one of which we did a recording. Some recording with.
If the guys, you're allowed to say at liberty to indulge such information.
So there's been a couple of teasers released, so I'm pretty happy to say. This guy's name's Stuart Hutton. He goes under the name of the One-Eyed Man.
I've seen a bit of that.
Yeah, so that's cool. So we've been working with him quite closely and just trying to suss out where we're going from there. So saw that, and then on the complete other end of the spectrum, going from like a pub open mic night, yesterday we went down to the London Stone in Staines and saw a band named P-Gypt.
How do you spell P-Gypt?
It's Egypt with a P.
And with an A.
I think Telma's pretty familiar with them. And then saw Birdsworth, who are awesome. Absolutely awesome. So it was a lot of fun. But I didn't get in until 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was up at 6:30 to come to our shop.
Amazing.
So I'm kind of out of it. It's cool though, because both at the gig that we went to, or the open mic night rather that we went to, seeing the One-Eyed Man do some of his stuff, and then going to see Birdsworth, who we've been working with at the studio as well. The coolest and most satisfying thing for me, working in a studio, is when you then take that out and you see it live, because you get a different flavor of it. I listen to all of these tracks at least 100 times, pretty much before I'm like ready to sign off on it and it's done, be it a mix, a master. I mean, if it's a mix and a recording, it could literally go into the hundreds of times. So to go down in and see it live is super satisfying, because you get a different take on it. And then at the same time, you're just kind of there like mouthing the words. Yeah. And it's like, I look like I'm obsessed.
You're the number one biggest fan.
But I know all of the lyrics. Yeah.
Have you found that you've had someone you've worked with and you've done the recording and you've worked with them, you've done a bit of production kind of stuff, so you've done maybe a little bit to the song arrangement stuff, do you then find your influence in the live stuff? Have you had that yet?
Yeah, the guy that we've done some stuff with, Stuart, I think definitely it's been quite fun, because he's come up to the studio quite a lot, and by doing that and spending so much time with him, that really helps shape what you're doing. So there's that production element to it. So then if you see a song, for example, because he's an acoustic act, but obviously by the time you've gotten him into the studio and done some stuff with him, it's turned into so much more, because you have the capabilities to kind of do that. And then when you see it stripped back again, from a live perspective, that's quite interesting. Or again, when you see a band like Birdsworth, who you've listened to their record, and they're a super tight band anyway, going to see them do their stuff is always good fun, because it's a different energy again. You know, I love doing recordings and everything like that, but, you know, when you're in the studio, it's got to be polished to a certain element. And by taking it out of that and putting it into a gig scenario where anything could happen, I always find it to be super fun. Super, super fun. And that's one of the things, because, by the way, spoiler alert, Telmo is in P-Egypt.
It was a Telmo band.
Band, yes.
That's it, yeah. That's why I know how to spell the name.
Tell us about P-Egypt, Telmo.
So, P-Egypt, that's a funny name, right? I'll never forget the day I come up with that name.
You were sitting in your boxers on the sofa.
Yes, my body was out. There we go.
Eating pea soup, listening to or watching the pyramids. And it was so cool.
No, it was actually, it's a ridiculous story. I was just walking down the street on my way to the skate park. I was listening to Nights Over Egypt by the...
Whoa, can we rewrite skate park?
Yeah.
Telmo is
a rad dude.
This band was formed in 2001.
Sort of elaborate on the skate park.
Well, let's say that I was hanging out with some of the cool dudes in town.
Okay. No more.
Yeah.
It's not a read into that.
That's it. That's it. End of story. It was just really good fun. I mean, P-Egypt was something that me and... Ines Silva, the lead singer, we started about 2 or 3 years ago. We wrote a couple of singles. We put it out straight away. We did a few gigs, including Birdsworth. They really were the guys that kind of like took us out there and, you know, guys, do you want to support us? We always said yes. We did.
Thank you, Wordsworth.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome, and they're super tight, as Andy said, super tight live. It's really worth going checking them out. Spotify, YouTube, go and check on their videos. They're great. So, yeah, we did a couple of years with the old formation. Things kind of torn apart in a very early stage when we were starting to get really good gigs. Some of the members had to go and do other stuff. So I, as well, went to do other stuff. So this is when I started to... You know, went to study some jazz, and I started to play at other jazz bands, and I started to do like a lot of weddings and functions, and found out how well you get paid when you do those sort of gigs. And then until recently, just you know, I had 2 months because Jack Coffey, lead singer from Birdsworth, he got in touch with me, and he said, "Listen, dude, do you want to do this gig?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I need to find a band." So in the space of 2 months, I was able... I put myself a challenge, and I was... So basically, I said to myself, if you're able to do this, you can take this forward and make it even bigger than what it was, or make it even more interesting. So yeah, talked to a few guys. In 2 months, managed to put a band together. The only rehearsal that we had was the day of the gig.
Oh.
Dude. Jesus.
I tell you what,
that's impressive.
Did you notice,
Andy? Or did Telmo tell you in advance that it was a bit ropey?
Yeah, both Cody and Telmo told me in advance that you guys had had your first rehearsal and stuff like that. But I came out of it super enthused because a lot of acts that I've seen are so kind of polished when they go to gigs. They know exactly what's going to happen. They know when the song's going to be played and blah, blah, blah. I really like the kind of element of intensity, like seeing you guys talk to each other, and it quite frankly looks like you're having a lot of fun, which you do sometimes miss out on when things are so super polished. I really enjoyed it, and I'd keep it up, keep up that kind of intensity and the feel of that.
Well, there's great bits you get in genres that are way more improvisational anyway.
I don't think it's just that, although that there is that element to it. Like, you guys did the Mario Kart thing, and whether or not that was...
I saw that on the Instagram.
Yeah. Whether or not that was, like, improv or not, I really enjoyed that kind of thing. But by seeing you guys kind of talk to each other and everything like that, again, it's what it boils down to. It makes you kind of feel like you're there, you're watching something, you're having a bit more of an experience. Mm. Whereas, you know, again, when you see someone that's a little bit more polished, or maybe you listen to a record and stuff like that, you know exactly what's going to kind of go, and you know what you're signing up for. And that kind of going to it where there's that intensity, almost, as it were, you know.
It was almost deliberate, this thing of not practicing, because it was like we wanted to make it as true as possible, as organic as possible.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound vegan or anything at all. I mean, it's just we want to have this communication. We want people to feel it in all sort of dynamic ranges. Yeah. And I think that's something that, you know, that's kind of missing in live music.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, you can get away with that as long as you guys are super tight, and you were. So that's really cool.
Like, so you can, what sort of genre is it?
So it's a blend of soul with it's this revival of neo soul that everyone is like doing on Instagram, but it's not really that. It's kind of like jazz and funk, and you know that there's a lot of we call it space jazz.
Space jazz. How do you know where you're taking it or going or approach it? If you haven't rehearsed, how does that work?
So it's all about communication. So someone in a certain song or in a band situation needs to take lead. And this is all about musicianship skills. It's all about looking at each other. It's all about communicating with it's all about listening before actually acting or before playing and being attentive to what's going on around you. And this is where musicianship, and this is where the school of jazz really, really puts a lot into the... gives you so much knowledge into what you could play and you know, listen more than listen to yourself as well, but listen more to the others.
So is it based on you've got certain sort of standards that you're working on, and then you improvise around it?
Yeah, there's a few sections. We kind of like imagine there's a song that I know it pretty well. They look at me and go like, I blink the eye and I say, yeah.
So have you written a song list prior? Started commencing the gig, or how?
Yeah,
you've got this list. Everyone
still
knows
the same. You know, we've got about five tunes that we want to that we will play, and within those five songs, we will decide how long we want to take them.
So you've got to blag your way through it all, but the best bit is the blagging your way through.
Best bit is being there and like not knowing where it's going at any time.
You start getting that little sweat.
All the time.
But it's good, right?
Should I see my shirt?
I mean, you kind of touched on it, and I don't really like doing this because I feel like really patronizing when I say it. When I was listening to you guys, do you know like Hiatus Coyote? That I was getting vibes off that.
Thank you, man.
That was the kind of thing
that
I was
thinking.
Yeah,
they're
it's like some
influence.
Of the stuff that Cody was doing on the drums. I can't remember which one it was, but it was gives Kieran, who I went to, works at the studio. I went there with him, and he's a bit of a drummer by trade, and he was doing something. It was like on the third beat of
the
like with the kick, it was like kind of dragging it along. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You don't see that every day.
Yeah,
that's pretty entertaining.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Anyway, if you guys want to have a look, I mean, the online we're. On Instagram, we're on Facebook.
As P-Gypt.
We're cool. On YouTube as well. So it's P-E-A-G-Y-P-T.
Lovely stuff.
We will start releasing a lot more stuff. There will be some content coming out soon. There'll be more gigs announced and an EP, which Andy will...
delicious.
..will help us out.
So I'm surprised you haven't sent out some invites on Facebook to ask people to like... the band page.
Maybe he just hasn't invited us. Maybe he doesn't like
us. Yeah, it's obviously us then.
Well, he hasn't come across just yet. I mean,
yeah, I think we've been really, really reserved in terms of everything that we do. It's just like, oh, okay, here's a platform to talk about stuff.
And well, there we go.
We've been pretty good.
It's a massive part of my life, so welcome to Egypt.
Yeah. And Ben, you were saying ModCaf stuff. What's going down there?
ModCaf was pretty cool. So it was mostly, I just had a chat with one of the founding dudes. So there's two Bens and an Ian with sort of the three that run the thing. And obviously the name is the Modular Cafe, so you'd expect, oh, it's lots of people with wires and a modular. But we're kind of expanding that definition a little bit. So, I mean, any synth is welcome, doesn't have to be modular.
That's a relief.
Yeah, I know. But beyond... Any synth will do.
One with no wires.
Yeah, the original intent was just to make modular more accessible because it's expensive and it's hard to find and you don't want to make that investment if you don't think you're going to like it. But it's gone beyond that. We're just trying to make it more of a platform for people to experiment with, experience, and just try and understand what experimental music can be.
Yeah.
So we've had people before who are just noise artists doing a set, and while you can argue as much as you want on what kind of defines music, I think lots of the stuff that we do is as weird as it gets. Even if it's just someone is playing with white and pink noise and lots of filters, I would argue that that is music and it can be incredibly expressive, but it's not something that most people are exposed to. So we're just trying to sort of provide a platform for that kind of people, especially for people to get stuck in and try it as well, because it's just, I mean, how many places can you go and play with a really strange synthesizer, make horrifying noises, but get something out of it? That's
I've
what
been
we're
there.
Trying to
I
do.
I loved it. Honestly, I think it's one of the coolest things happening in the Southwest.
If
Southwest.
You watch the promo for that's on YouTube, the Modular Cafe YouTube, the promo for our birthday party, right at the end, you just see, I think this is a video of Telmo playing with a Bastille Castle, and he's just going, he's making this face because it was just making some super weird sounds.
That's how I was feeling. It's like incredibly excited.
When you brought all, because I haven't been down to the Mod Cafe yet for my sins.
Better do it.
I will do. But
I'll make you.
Yeah, when you came up to the studio with your synth stuff and you brought the little spring reverb, that was just like my face just lit up and you're just like prodding
it's so good.
It's like, can I kick it?
Yes, you can. Please do.
Can I
it's
kick
great.
It?
Yes, you can.
So I mean, I know that the emphasis is on the experimental, but that doesn't preclude anything else.
No, not at all.
So just anything and everything.
Absolutely. Even if it's a slightly more straightforward genre, we'd be encouraging people to go about it in a slightly different way. So in that case, the focus would be making electronic music with hardware. So the one kind of limitation we'd have is if someone turns up with a launch pad and Ableton Live, and they're like, I'm going to do a trance set. That's not really what we're about, because anybody in a bedroom can do that. We want to encourage experimentation, strange methods, strange sound sources.
But would you be up for it if someone came to you with like those kind of things and was doing something a little bit out there? Or is it strictly like we want like knobs and wires? And
it doesn't necessarily have to be hardware. So Amy Brown, who runs the Standard Tapes label. One of her first contributions to the ModCaf was she brought her laptop with a Pure Data patch on it, where she'd tried to and definitely succeeded in recreating the Make Noise. What's it called? Pete, help me out. Make Noise sequencer with the grid of 4x4 gold pads.
Rene,
yeah. So like recreated Rene in Pure Data, and it was a synthesizer all in Pure Data, so it was entirely laptop based, but it was a thoroughly weird workflow.
Yeah, that's what
so
I
experimentation
mean,
yeah. in yes. their senses.
Yeah.
So it's like if I rocked up with what's the complete one where you've got Reactor, is it?
Yeah, and you could do a Reactor set.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's cool.
It's where it's really, really straightforward and just not innovative in any way.
Yeah,
not
you kind of you don't want it to be like tied to a genre, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So Brilliant. It's one of those things, you just want some kind of innovation, experimentation, some kind of weirdness. We just don't want people with a laptop being like, this anybody can do
I'm
this.
Yeah, I'm going to run my DJ set or something like that.
Exactly.
So if someone did come along and did a trance set, but they were doing it with loads of weird equipment.
I'm all about that. It'd be incredible. Because the most the main bit is, as long as they're willing to do sort of the follow-up, which is the tech spot, and tell us how they're doing it, so then people can be inspired and learn. That's the platform we're going for.
So the trick is that whatever you perform, it's either pre the performance or post the performance, you get all nerdy on the audience.
Yeah, and the audience is there to nerd out with it as well.
So super nerd.
Yeah. Because also the sort of people that go to these sort of events is the sort of people that are also nerds. You know, I'm one of those.
It's a massive nerd fest, and it's beautiful.
It's amazing, and it feels like a little family because you get in there, you get to chat with the people, you get to interact with the with whatever they're playing. You know, it's great. I loved it.
Almost the opposite to what you would do in any other scenario, because it's the absolutely what you wouldn't do is nerd out on the audience.
Absolutely. At a gig, everyone like, get off the stage. But that's because we just have people kind of fielding the questions, all that kind of stuff. It's brilliant. But we had this particular one, we were kind of we didn't have enough people to kind of fill up our usual two live set thing. So we had one of our friends, Basil, who has a Synthy A, an original Synthy A. So he was using that bit of Ableton, and he brought his friend who, I was going to sort of give him a something enthusiast kind of moniker, but he's got loads of sort of weird oriental and historical percussion.
That sounds really cool.
And so I don't remember what he called it. You know, the drum that's, it's not a djembe, but it's along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
He had one of those, a historical kind of, you know, the tambourine type somethings.
Yeah.
And he was live looping that kind of stuff, as well as having weird sequences that were then kind of controlled and messed around with by the Ableton thing. So Ableton was involved, but there was a really weird old synth.
Yeah, there was
some oddness going on, and it was drone-y, slightly techno-y with live percussion. Mm. And it was super cool.
Yeah, man, that sounds really
interesting. I'll have to do the... Because my Polyevolver thing is ready to go at any stage.
Oh, it is?
It would just go. It's a thing. And I was thinking, is this too abstract? Is this too avant-garde?
Nothing is too avant-garde. Nothing is too abstract.
I was a bit worried.
Yeah.
we're making art here.
It is. It can get a little bit.
That can be done at any time. Literally, I've got it. I can just literally bring it down with the big sky and it's ready to roll.
I'm there. Beautiful.
So anyone listening, when's the next one and where's
it's actually
be?
Really soon. So it's always at the West End Centre. Mm-hmm. That is an arts venue. Yep, Aldershot. Yep. West End Centre in Aldershot. The next one, he's rapidly scrolling through his phone because he doesn't remember where it is. It's on a Thursday. It's in February.
Okay.
Somebody say some things while I multitask.
I'll say some things. Well, I mean,
so how
I should come to that one and do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think we've got the live set sorted for it yet, so you'd be more than welcome.
And it's not very long.
If there's excessive reverb.
3 minutes or 4 minutes of it. And
drag it out.
It's just dripping.
It sounds
it's
brilliant.
It's just wet as...
You've just got to leave it to rest.
Yeah, there.
Is it cloud on the big sky?
Is that one the slightly granulary pad type thing?
No. Well, it's very, very ethereal, very wet, very massive. Long tails that just go on forever, and it's just this thing is wet as hell, and it's I've saved various patches that have slightly tweaked differently, so it's a sequence, but it kind of builds and just does some, and then I just throw this weird little ambient tune in that throws people off the scent.
It sounds brilliant.
It sort of initially sounds like it's just going to be noises, and then the tune happens.
I'm there.
And then it goes back to the noises.
So that will be February the 13th. That's a Thursday. February I need to the change 13th. The Facebook event. It says it's 8:15. Get there around 7:45, and that's when you get the meet and greet.
It's not the next Thursday. It's the Thursday after.
Yeah, weirdly close to the last one. I'm not entirely sure why. But that's what we've got. It's £3 a head, little donation to keep us running. And if you've got a synthy something or an interesting noise box, do bring it along. Or if you have absolutely no idea and you just want to try things, I bring my modular setup for everybody else to use. I don't typically get stuck in on that.
Imagine that I've got a didgeridoo connected to my Model D and I want to show up one of these days. And who should we get in touch with?
We're on Facebook, Modular Cafe Aldershot on Facebook. There is also a Modular Cafe Aldershot Discussion Facebook group where we get ultra nerdy, which is pretty fun.
Beautiful.
But you can message the Facebook page if you've got any questions, and I'll probably pick one of those up, or the other Ben, or the Ian, one of the three.
And then you'll be sorting out your email, surely?
Yes. there is a website, there is an email address, but... We need to sort it out. We'll have a mailing list for those lucky people who aren't actually on Facebook, and I envy you greatly.
Get in touch with us.
Absolutely.
So I need to be especially early to if you're
performing? I normally, because I come from work, but I get there for 7:30. If you can be ready to set up at 7:30, it doesn't actually matter that much. It's pretty free form.
Yeah. So that, all I have to do is get a smaller pedal train. With a flight case to put...
You'd love this. This is just another excuse.
Excuse to buy more equipment. No, I mean, I just need to... The equipment's there. I just need to transport it safely. So the Polyevolver's got a flight case.
Can I hold you to that 13th of February? Yeah. Sick, you heard it here first. So we're going to have a bit of Pete.
It's going to happen.
You've heard it from the source.
Ambience.
I think I will probably try and get
Andy,
down to that.
Yes. So can we get Terry down as well?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Are you going to go?
I will go.
Oh, wicked. So it'll be like a Rack Addict's life.
That's it.
So, yes, what about you, listeners? Would you like to come to the Modular Cafe?
We will all be there if you guys want to meet us. Take some pictures.
I'm surprised you don't throw in a podcast and have a monthly podcast.
Well, we're kind of vaguely on that. Ben, the other Ben, is looking to do something similar, but slightly more music focused. So looking at what our kind of members, there's no membership, but you know, our regulars, what we're kind of up to.
Yeah.
So that'll be there. I mean, unless any of you lovely lads have anything more to say, I think we've basically done a ninth episode.
No, all good.
Beautiful. I'm there.
I'm looking forward to
wherever there is.
I don't know.
I'm somewhere.
We're on the internet. Thank you very much for listening, and hopefully you'll catch the next episode of Rack Addicts After Hours. See you later.